Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
And welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen, D-A-D. You gave me a look.
Did I? No, I didn't give you a look.
You were like, is that my name now?
No, it's because I'm so used to you saying lukewarm Luke Owen that I was thrown off by you just saying my name. Also, because there's a flickering light up there,
that's going to get annoying.
I was momentarily distracted.
So what do you want your name to be? Do you want to be
Luke Owen DAD?
You don't want to be lukewarm?
No, Luke Owen DAD? I haven't worn the jacket in so long, like the vest top.
Do you want to be the good father? You know, like how Alistair Black was the dark father?
Or no, just the good father from Right to Censor.
Ah, yes, the good father, Luke Owen, D-A-D.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I was going to ask, you're in the drop zone.
Yes, we are max 3 weeks away from Little Owen getting here. This morning, I was nearly late for our morning meeting.
You got here before me, though.
I did. Well, I thought I was going to be late for my morning meeting because I had to go to John Lewis to not like get assistance on getting the car seat installed in the car. It's because the car seat that we've bought has been tested in multiple Suzuki Swifts. Mm-hmm. Just not my specific make of Suzuki Swift.
What, the Ford version of the Suzuki? What do you mean?
Because, like, you know, like Suzuki Swift, you might have like Suzuki Swift Sport, Suzuki Swift Diddly D.
Because for people who don't know, Luke has the FR Sport version.
I think mine is the Sport.
Which has the little neon rim around the bottom.
I'm pretty sure mine is the Swift Sport.
Whatever it is. Your entire boot is a subwoofer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not big enough to be a subwoofer. Actually, if I put a subwoofer in, that would be the entirety of my boot.
You're going to need to drop the sick sound system in your car. And all the lights in it, the dashboard, the way it lights up.
Distracting for the little one. Although actually, you know, little ones respond well to colour and stuff. So actually what I'm doing is I am encouraging its senses and all that sort of stuff.
But you know another thing about becoming a dad and driving? Oh, you cannot have that back light on, kids. I can't see the road. So you don't want to give them the option.
No. But yeah, like I mean, me and my wife have had the chat about music in the car.
Yeah.
And about like
Baby Shark.
Yeah, about what music is appropriate and what's not appropriate music. Because I listen to a lot of like, you know, metal.
Right? Yeah.
So I can listen to a lot of Slayer.
A lot of WAP.
A lot of Korn. Well, actually, that's more my wife. My wife is listening to a lot of like WAP and I don't know, other songs. My wife likes a lot of songs about sex. And the sort of artists that she listens to do a lot of songs about sex, which I think is quite crude.
Yeah, but yes.
However, Slayer singing songs about death and stuff is cool.
It's different.
Completely different. But we do need to basically create a baby-friendly playlist that it finds the balance between the songs that I like and the songs that she likes, but isn't all like boning or dying.
But surely for the first year, 2 years, that's not gonna
It's impressionable.
Go in.
It's impressionable, is that Davis. Sure? Hey, so my child, I've done tests with this, responds to me singing a specific song.
What song is it?
It is the song from the start of My Neighbor Totoro. Hey, let's go. Hey, let's go. I'm as happy as can be. Let's go walking, you and me. Ready, set, hey, let's go. I sing that to the bump, and it always kicks whenever I do it.
Stop! This is torture in here!
Sing the other track from Totoro!
When I was walking up the road yesterday near my house, lovely bank holiday, quiet Monday afternoon.
After you finish work.
Yes. A car drove up and parked in the middle of the street that connects onto mine with the music on full blast, and the lyrics were, "Sit on my dick."
See, that's the sort of thing I can't have on in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the sort of thing anyone should have on so loudly that other people do not have a choice whether they listen to it or not.
I recently, when I was driving into work, we work in a pretty cool area.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cool, very hip. Gentrified, I believe, is the word that a lot of people would use to describe Hackney Wick.
When I hear gentrified, I think Nando's.
Oh, yeah?
This is hip, like, this is more hipster-fied.
It's very hipster around here.
There's none of your high street gentrified things like a Nando's or a Woolworths.
I'm only assuming it is a gentrified thing because one of the restaurants or the little cafe down the end of the road has got like a picture, at least it used to have 2 years ago when we first moved here, that said, "Stop the gentrification of Hackney Wick."
I think that was ironic because sure, they know they're a part of it. Hey, so stop all the gentrification. What they mean is, no, we can charge coffee at £3.50 a cup here. We can't have all the other places doing that too.
Yeah, well, we have
self-interest.
There is a Sainsbury's now, so maybe that is like the start. Like, that's the downfall.
End of me, I tell you. all of the crisps.
I've eaten so many Yorkies because every time you go to the shop and say, "Do you want anything?" I'm like, "Oh,
purple,
yeah,
Yorkie.
Purple Yorkie, please." Anyway, so the point I was making, I was like, I'm driving into work, and I, towards the end of my journey, I like switch off a podcast and put on a playlist. Whether that be
to
my
psych you up,
yeah, just get myself ready for work, make sure I don't fall asleep in the car, that sort of thing. You know, and that'll be like either my new metal classics playlist that I have curated, or like all my favorite Slayer songs, or my favorite Faith No More songs, or my favorite Primus songs, this and the other. I've got players for all my favorite bands. And I was listening to my Slayer one, and I had my windows down because it was quite a warm day, and I had my music quite loud because I'm cool. And all of a sudden, I'm just listening to Slayer, so I'm coming around this very cool hipster area. And I suddenly thought, oh no, I'm not cool. And what I'm doing now isn't cool. So I turned the volume down real low, just so only I could hear it.
Well, yeah, good.
Yeah.
It's what you should do in that situation.
Because I suddenly realised what I'm actually being is a nuisance to people. And there are people
live around here.
People live around here. People work around here. They don't need to hear my crap music being played really, really loud because that's how I like to listen to it.
So what music is acceptable for a newborn? Yeah, I mean, you could go full on and just play like classical music to make them educated.
Yeah, I mean, my father-in-law has been trying to get around to this. He's like, studies have been done to show that it makes them smarter. The problem is, my wife and I hate classical music.
Surely there's some good ones. Daniel Bryan's entrance music.
There's that
Ric Flair's entrance music.
There's those two.
Randy Savage's entrance music.
There's those three. And the Phoenix Wright orchestral soundtrack are pretty much like my top. Maybe the Final Fantasy VII piano album.
What about, I was going to play you something there, but there's the popular pop songs but covered by string quartets.
Maybe, but then
I don't think that would work.
Wouldn't I just want to listen to like the actual song? I don't know. We've got you know, a friendly barbecue playlist that we have on in the car that's just full of like, you know, classic 60s songs or classic fun upbeat songs.
Well, boring.
That's what I think, man. It is boring.
You want to make a basic baby?
Oh my god, it's such a basic playlist.
How can we not offend anyone coming to this barbecue?
That's exactly how it was put together. I started adding songs in, and my wife was like, taking that out, because no one knows who that band is. No one knows what that song is. That song's got swearing in it. Taking this out, and I'm like, it's got all the tracks from the Guardians movies. Like,
yeah,
that,
well,
you
that's
know,
fair.
Yeah, like the great, it may as well be Now That's What I Call Barbecue Volume 2.
That's probably a safe bet for a car playlist.
That one
the
is.
The Guardians soundtrack.
Yeah, ELO.
In fact, any Marvel movie that has tried to mimic the Guardians stuff.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we will be able to put together a track. It just won't be full of, like... Because I keep saying to Kay, it's like, when you're not there, I am going to play Limp Bizkit. And we're going to, like, really get into Limp Bizkit together.
The whole Transformers movie.
Yes, absolutely.
That's safe.
That's totally safe. It's positive affirmation music.
I was pretty much raised on ABBA Gold, the album. A single release. So, like, I think it was a cassette of...
If you listen to the podcast version, you can't see that Davis has not stopped staring at me while doing...
You know the one?
I don't know the one.
You take my happiness again.
Oh, right, yeah.
That one?
Yeah. I mean, why would you use that lyric? Surely it's like,
I can't remember the song. I don't know any of the lyrics.
Oh my God.
I just know the tune.
I just want to dance the night away.
There goes my happiness again.
I don't know, because like that's the bit that everyone knows.
So that song.
Yeah.
Clearly made an impression. The Osmonds.
Oh dear. Yeah.
A long-haired lover from Liverpool. I'll be your sunshine, something from LA. And ooh-bloody-ooh-blada. I feel like Paul McCartney wrote a lot of songs for kids. Yeah. And John Lennon's just there like, oh my God, Paul, this is lame.
Oh man, what track is it? There's a track that they proper clashed over of like...
Most of the
Let It Be.
Oh, you mean the album,
Let
It Be.
Yeah. No, there was one specific one where like they like proper like stormed out the room and stuff because Paul saw it one way and like Lennon saw it as like a much more slower, moodier song. And Paul's like, no, I think what it needs to be is really upbeat and happy. And Lennon's like, no, you're an idiot. Can't be that way all the time.
I always used to be Team John, but having gotten older and read that fantastic autobiography of the Beatles last year, it's Paul.
I mean,
Lennon is a prick.
And also, you know, let's be honest.
100% of the time.
Let's be honest here. Paul won. Yes. At the end of the day, Paul won.
And Michael Jackson beat him.
Well, yeah, but Paul got it back eventually because, you know, the Jackson estate sold everything they had. Right, anyway, let's get into this podcast itself because, holy heckins, what the hell happened here? Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax had a shoot fight? Or maybe it's a worked shoot fight?
I don't care with all those views it's bringing us.
Here is the show.
Match of the year. Match of the year. Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax just had a 5-star stonker on Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw is back. We've been saying it all year. When is WWE going to start making an effort? When are they going to turn this creatively bankrupt company around? And the answer was there in our face. It's Nia Jax refusing to work with someone on air, live on TV, to the extent where the other person starts to slap them back. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, D-A-D. This is the Raw Review Podcast, sponsored, as always, by Beer52. Beer52.com/wrestle. Go over there, UK viewers only. You can get yourself a case of 10 free craft beers, a little snack-a-rooney, and a magazine about this most wonderful beverage. You only have to pay £5.95 postage and packaging. We'll be sampling this beer very shortly. But first, do you think it was a worky shoot?
Okay, so here is what we know. If you haven't seen Raw, should we go through what happened first?
Yes.
So what happened on Raw is that they had a match between Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax, seemingly, despite the fact they'd set up Alexa Bliss last week as the new challenger towards Charlotte Flair, seemingly to set up Nia Jax as the new challenger to Charlotte Flair. Bliss wasn't on the show. She'd gone back to Columbus, Ohio. Apparently she's fine. She just went back to home for a little bit. And they had this match. They like made Nia Jax look like this dominant monster as well earlier in the show, taking out Almost a Superhero, Nikki Almost a Superhero, and Rhea Ripley after Shayna Baszler lost to Rhea Ripley. And then she has this match with Charlotte Flair. In the middle of the match, and which wasn't a great match anyway.
It was a fantastic match anyway.
It was a heel versus heel match. Crowd didn't... Charlotte seemed to play babyface in all of this. Very difficult for Charlotte to do because no one particularly wants to cheer for Charlotte. And then Nia started to drop her on her shoulder and her neck a lot.
Luke, let me stop you there for a second because over in the New Japan and Kota Ibushi and Hiromu Takahashi, they're dropping each other on the neck. And we love it. And you say it's amazing.
Slight difference here.
Can the hypocrisy please
hold
be
on,
cool?
Hold on. There is a slight difference here. They know what they're doing. And also, they know they've gone in there with a pre-thing of like, this is how I'm doing the suplex. Here is how I'm going to take that suplex. So everyone is safe. Yeah. Do I wish they'd stop doing it? A little bit. Because as Dave Meltzer always says, I don't think Will Ospreay's going to walk much in his 40s. But so she kept dropping her on her shoulder and stuff. And then the match just broke down. And they started to like mouth off at each other. Charlotte slapped Nia across the face. Mm. And not in like a, oh, like this is the next spot. Because Nia just looked at her and went, done.
Yeah.
And so Charlotte started like pie face her again. She tried to get in a headlock. And Nia just went, no.
Just stood up.
Just stood like, up out of the headlock.
I don't want to play anymore.
And Corey Graves was like, Nia powered out of the headlock. Did you see that?
I think we're going off script here.
And then they had, comfortably, the worst shoot fight I've ever seen in my life. It was a lot of like throwing slaps. It was just like playground 8-year-old kids just sort of like, no, no, and sort of like messing each other's hair up and stuff. And to the point where Charlotte Flair did this scorpion death drop and then sat up and looked legit pissed off. And then Nia won.
Well, that scorpion death drop thing, I think she was going for something else and her arm just ended up wrapped around the front of Nia Jax and they're just sort of like bent over for a painfully long time.
Oh, it's so slow.
But their hair's covering their faces, of course. And Charlotte's just like, back bump. And before that, like, you know, people shouldn't bounce off the ropes. If you throw someone against the ropes and an Irish whip, physics don't really dictate that they should then bounce back to you. Nia Jax thought, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte ran off the ropes. Nia Jax was sort of going to go off the other side, and Jax just stopped. And Charlotte had to walk, like run back and then start walking. And then by the time she got to Jax, she just went, oh. And Jax was just like, almost turned her back on her. It was like watching just two kids who don't want to play with each other anymore. Yeah. And one's still trying.
Yeah, yeah. A bit, not too
Oh, no, sorry, disagree. She didn't go that. She hopped on her.
Yeah.
Charlotte hopped on Jax's back.
Because seemingly, Charlotte was like, she can Samoan drop me on my shoulder again. If that's what she really wants to do, that's what we'll do.
I'll take the high angle.
I'll take it. And I was like, no, I don't fancy that either, actually.
No, you've hit me in the face.
Yeah, and that's really what it felt like. It's because, like, Charlotte did kick her when she was sort of in a seated position. And that seemingly was where the match broke down.
Mm.
And it really did feel like Nia was just like, you kicked me in the face. So I've had enough of this now. You were too stiff with me, Rob Van Dam. I don't want to work with you anymore. It reminded me a little bit. Do you remember the Ivelisse Thunder Rosa match?
Oh, yeah.
From Dynamite, or like Dark or whatever it was, when Ivelisse just sort of just sat there and Thunder Rosa essentially wrestled herself with Ivelisse in the ring, just sort of bumping around her.
So that's what happened. And of course, Nia Jax does not have a stellar history with in-ring injuries, accidents. She has injured so many people now over years. That you sort of wrote the list in my news today of, it's like Bayley, Becky Lynch.
There were so many, I'd actually forgotten some. Like, I forgot, like, the Alexa Bliss one.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten
Mandy Rose, I'd forgotten about.
Yeah, the Ember Moon one, where her husband, like, tweeted out, was, like, calling her an unsafe moron. And, yeah, there was Bayley. There was Kairi Sane twice in the span of a couple of weeks. There's just, like, this litany of people. Seemingly, whenever it's building up to a big show or something, Nia Jax gets involved and plans have to change.
What did she do to Bliss? Maybe that's why Bliss isn't around.
Sorry. And then, yeah, in the end of this is Nia Jax wins in a fairly, you could say, a dominating fashion. Because shock horror, WWE pinned a champion, which is what they love to do. So now you've got a belt, you can get pinned, kid. And they were like, oh man, surely that sets up Nia Jax to be a challenger for the Women's Championship. And my first thought was, don't think Flair will want to do that much. I think Flair will probably walk backstage and be like, that don't work for me, brother.
So, was this a work? Dave Meltzer has said on Wrestling Observer Radio that he has heard from people behind the scenes that this was a worked shoot, which is to say they pretended to have a real fight, which is so stupid because that's what wrestling's meant to be anyway. But they pretended that they were having a real fight in the midst of a pretend fight.
Okay, I'm trying to decide which is worse. Is it worse that they had a legit shoot fight? They had a terrible legit shoot fight. Or is it better? Or is it worse that they had a pretend shoot fight that looked really lame? Which of those options is worse? That they're bad at shoot fighting or they're bad at pretending to be shoot fighters?
I think that definitely the latter. Yeah. Because you can say many things about this. I was thoroughly entertained by it. I was sports entertained.
Could not take my eyes off of it.
I've watched it back. I haven't watched anything else on Raw back in months.
Nope.
Apart from Eva Marie tripping over a doll. And that was only to double check Doudrop didn't trip her. I haven't watched anything of the genuinely brilliant triple threat match back. This one, I've watched through twice. Or at least the second half where it all fell apart.
Oh, yeah, you didn't just watch it. The first half's quite dull, but the second half is tremendous television.
And if it was real, like, there suddenly feels like something there. And a Charlotte Nia Jax match, I suddenly kind of want to see because I'm a terrible person and I kind of like it when things have an element of real violence to it. But if it is all fake, then I'm just like, well, why?
To what end?
Because who are you trying to work here?
Well, us, the Filthy Marks. Look at us talking about it. It's the thumbnail for both your news. It's the thumbnail for this podcast, the title for this podcast. Do you know what? On paper, Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax never would have been the title of this podcast.
No.
Never would have been the title. But
everyone's talking.
But because, like, they've got everyone talking, they've got the internet, Twitter talking, and sometimes that's more important.
Oh my God.
That's more important than pay-per-view sales.
Well, and maybe we are. Maybe we're being played like a fiddle because I was thinking back earlier this year, Nia Jax had a hole.
She did.
She became one of our best performing videos in the early part of the year with the whole, my whole thing, where she took a bump on the apron and landed on her bum hole and she screamed into the camera, my hole, my hole. And it was very funny. And I actually thought that was great. Nia Jax is good at working us and this portion of the fan base online. And I'm looking at our WrestleTalk news episode that went up earlier. It is now our number one performing video of the last 10, which includes CM Punk's AEW debut.
So, to whether this was a work, if this was a work, you have to say successful work.
Massive success.
Massive success.
It looks stupid. People are talking about it.
And like, but if it's not a work, then obviously it's very lame and it's, you know, quite bad and quite terrible, incredibly unprofessional and stuff. But if this was like a whole planned thing, like Meltzer is saying that it was, I think you can argue that quantifiably it was a success because it was, I think Fightful had it as their lead topic. I would imagine that Stephen Larson will have it as their lead as well. All the websites talking about it, Twitter like was trending, like this term Charlotte Flair was trending and stuff. We're talking about it now. And this wouldn't have happened had it not been for this.
But it's trending in a way that we're all laughing about it. Like, that was rubbish, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, they always say all press is good press.
Maybe.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, should we see? Let's see what people think. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your Ultra Chats in there.
I tell you what, let's also throw up a little mod mother. Calling mod mother or calling a lead moderator who is able to do this sort of thing. Can we put a poll up? Do we think it was a work? Do we think that this fight was a work? Mm. Yes or no? Because I've seen a lot of people in the chat being like, never a work. Like, it couldn't have been a work. And that's the thing as well, is like, I think what cast doubt as to whether it worked is, it was very bad. Like, it was a terrible worked shoot fight.
Yeah. Let's see what Anthony Velasquez says. Why won't WWE send Nia down to work on being safe? It's a trend that's getting more uglier every time she does something unsafe. Charlotte could have gotten seriously injured. I don't blame Charlotte for being pissed off at Nia.
I mean, yeah, Charlotte did land. But maybe it was like that New Japan thing. Mm. It looks bad, but actually they're A-OK.
I think, you know, I've defended Jax a lot over the years because I do think she has, that there is something about her. She's charismatic.
She looks great.
She looks great. I think the way she carries herself is like a star. But the evidence is now overwhelming. She, too many people in matches get injured with her. And why hasn't she been sent back somewhere to train? When there are the reports of Keith Lee getting sent back to the performance center to refine their skills, it's like, what does she obviously has a lot of sway in the company. She had a bust up with Reigns last year's Survivor Series because she wanted to do the table spot. And Reigns was like, no, I've got a table spot. Said this like Samoa Moore. She is that big a star backstage or has that much cachet that she can butt heads with Roman.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you're like, well, why does she have that much power? And you can't help but think of it's who she's related to. She is the cousin of The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always been the backstage scuttlebutt, hasn't it? It's just that she essentially just like, if things don't quite go her way, they're being mean.
And they, of course, want The Rock in to come back for the Reigns match eventually.
Indeed.
Mark Mayhew, Ric Flair done the one thing you should never do. He thanked Vince McMahon. Nia must have been sent to punish Flair for her father's gratitude. That'll teach him. Glad Raw was good for once. May it continue. Also, do you still plan on doing a Jackass movie stream? No. It'll be fun.
Yeah,
we just rewatched them.
I would totally watch them again, though. Like, I mean, that's what I did when I was a teenager. When that first film came out, I watched it so much. Granted, that was because I was making bootleg versions of it as well and selling them on eBay. Disc, naughty Luke. But yeah, like, I would totally rewatch them again.
When's it out?
Oh, like October, I think.
A bit stretched. Mr. Gajilli has sent in quite a few chats. Thank you very much.
Let me guess. I haven't actually looked. Are they Alexa related?
Let's find out. Hi, guys. This is a very odd one. I think Charlotte was frustrated for whatever reason. They swapped Alexa Bliss for Nia Jax as her next challenger, as I believe she and Alexa were looking forward to their feud, as they never had one before, so she worked stiff last night. One more. I hope that whatever kept Alexa off this week isn't too serious and she's back to face Nia for the next title shot next week, because otherwise, to me, it seems like Nia stole this title feud from her. And let's face it, Alexa versus Charlotte is the better match. And finally, last one today, the reason why I feel so many people were looking forward to Alexa and Charlotte was it's two future legends who have never had many matches together. That's rare in WWE. They're both all-rounders. It's the women's Roman versus Cena. Hope we see it soon. So Mr. Gajilli very much likes Bliss because I haven't seen anyone enthused about the Bliss-Charlotte feud.
Yes,
especially with the Lily doll.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that is fair to say about Chris. On your point, though, with the Alexa thing, we don't know why. She basically just went home. She just put out a tweet saying, and actually, in fact, like, so it's funny, when I was going through the news this morning to find it for you, and someone put in, like, Alexa, reason why Alexa Bliss was off TV. Alexa Bliss actually responded to someone to say, I'm actually okay, everything is fine. The person he responded to was Chris.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that is cool. So yeah, apparently she is A-OK. There was something else that Chris said in there that I was going to bring up. Oh, that was it. Whether or not, like, you know, these plans changed. This whole Raw was changed. Apparently, according to PW Insider, and I think Fightful had a similar report, it was a crazy day yesterday backstage. Because, let's be honest, none of the matches that were advertised happened. So it may just be a case of no one stole a spot or anything like that. It's just plans change.
We sat here last week and went, wow. Bobby versus Sheamus.
Yeah.
Miz versus Morrison. Eva Marie versus Doudrop. That's what was announced last week for this week's show. If just one of those matches happen, they're all pretty big, multi-month feud climaxes, or just like a big hoss fight with Lashley and Sheamus. If just one of those happen, that is good WWE. Every single one! None of them happen.
None of them happen. And then in the case of the Doudrop one, made Doudrop look like the biggest dunderhead. We'll get to that.
And finally for now, Brendan Irwin. Historically, the safest guys to work with have been the biggest. Andre, Paul White, Taker. Nia is the opposite. At the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. I don't think that's necessarily true about the bigger guys being the safest workers.
No, I don't think that's true either.
Although Bret Hart always used to say Yokozuna was just like... It'd be the softest man, like he'd float around for you.
That's because some people know that it's a work.
Some people know how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Right, beer52.com/wrestle. You can get yourself a case of 10 free craft beers, UK viewers only. I am going to be tucking into...
Oh, please, tell me all about it.
Coffee Friends from the appropriately themed Chicago Brewery.
Ooh, Coffee Friend.
Chicago Brewery themed box. Of course, I doubt CM Punk is advocating craft beer, but I certainly am.
Mm-hmm. So this is 5.6, an American brown ale. This collaboration beer from Beguile and Temperance features nutty malt flavor, medium mouthfeel, bolstered by a healthy dose of cold brew coffee, aromas of caramel, malt, roast, and coffee.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can I at least have a little whiff? Because I can't drink because...
That's it.
Oh, I should have. Oh, it is delightful. It's nice. Also, we shouldn't really share cans.
Beer52.com/wrestle. Please do go over because the more people who sign up there, the more it helps support us as well. And they are a fantastic company.
They've been sponsoring us for the last 2 weeks. This is our final week of sponsorship with them. We've been friends with Beer52 for ages, which is why through us, you don't get 8 like everyone else does. Everybody else gives you. You get 10 via us. 10 free craft beers. UK viewers only. Please do click the link in the video description down below.
Right, This episode of Raw from top to bottom.
Sorry.
Ooh, someone's got a notification. No, mate, what is it? It's obviously more important.
Well, actually, it's from Mod Mother Jenna do you think it was a work? 70% said no. 30% said yes.
What do you say?
I'm erring on no. I don't think it was a work. If only because it was too rubbish.
Yeah, I don't think it was a work.
Yeah.
So the show opened with Damian Priest coming out with the US title. He cut a good promo. Like, I think his promos have been awful because he's just got given this like generic dialogue. But he comes out, not only does he speak well, he interacts with the crowd on a sort of spontaneous level, which was, you know, like the fans were chanting something, maybe like a "You Deserve It." And he was like, "Cheers, guys." It was just nice. And then he said, "I want to pay tribute to the great US champions, Jeff Hardy, John Cena. I'm bringing back the Open Challenge," and Sheamus's music hit. And I was just like, oh no. And then Drew McIntyre's music hit. And I was like, it's the same as last week. And then Bobby Lashley's music hit. I was just all terrible, like, oh God, it's this again. Exact same segment as last week. But then RK-Bro came out and completely flipped it on its head.
Yeah, so, as a recap, last week they announced that the match was going to be Bobby Lashley versus Sheamus. That was going to be one of the big matches for this week. And it's funny, I clearly forgotten about that, because when they announced yesterday that Damian Priest is going to open the show and it's going to be an open challenge, my first thought was, guarantee you Sheamus answers this. And then this morning I was like, no, you fool, because Sheamus can't answer, he's in a match with Bobbles. And then he answered and I was like, yeah, I probably should have seen, I mean, I did see that coming, and then I talked myself out of it. But yeah, it was... like, the people are the same, but I don't mind, because it's a bit different. I mean, Drew has at least added a difference to it slightly, because it's not just Priest versus Sheamus again. Drew's involved in it, and that kind of adds a little element to it. Bobbles being involved as well, kind of like it's elevated the US title for the first time in, well, I think, forever. That if the US title has felt important, and it hasn't felt important, probably since Cena had it in 2015. Like... What were the names he said? He said Jeff Hardy.
I don't think US title when I think Jeff Hardy.
Absolutely not. Like, when did he have the US title? It must have been like years and years and years ago. Because he was IC champ when he was on SmackDown in that feud with Sammy. I can't tell you a single thing about a United States championship with Jeff Hardy, which means it's completely unremarkable.
If you say it enough times, though, Jeff Hardy, US champion.
Yeah.
All-timer.
It was like, did he say Ricochet was another one? Like,
I hope not.
Because, like, I think he had the belt once.
Well, and anyway, we're getting open challenges, which is good. But
apparently it was in 2018, he beat Jinder for the title. I actually forgot Jinder had that belt as well.
But RK-Bro come out, and they were genuine breath of fresh air, you know, in this group of four people. And Riddle hilariously said, well, it wasn't hilariously at this point, he just went... I issue an open challenge, Bobby and MVP, for our tag titles. And Randy just like barely hear him on his mic. He just goes, that doesn't make it an open challenge anymore.
Yeah. I'm enjoying people saying things slightly off mic to Matt Riddle. Like AJ Styles, every time he says, I'm going to hit you with the three most destructive letters, RK Bro. And AJ Styles off mic will go, it's five, you idiots.
It's three. Matt frickin' Hardy. No, was it?
Yeah, it does that.
Yeah, that's it. I can't make my fingers do it. But then Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce come out, the worst people at booking a wrestling show in the world.
Well, they're the Muppets.
They don't do it until it's happening.
It's the Muppet Show. That's you need to get out of this headspace that you think that a general manager books a show in advance. WWE general managers
they're
Kermit and their Scooter booking a show on a fly because things are going on crazy backstage, lights are falling down everywhere, so they have to like quickly cut to Fozzie doing his thing because we haven't actually got a main event anymore. It's the Muppet Show.
But they did book it last week.
And then Vince changed their mind.
Couldn't they at least say, well, we were going to have these matches, but the way I'm looking at it now, you two fight these two, you two fight these two.
I mean, well, that would have been great. That would also have added continuity, but there was no mention of the fact that Sheamus and Bobbles had their interaction last week.
So we got a triple threat for the US title booked, Priest versus Drew versus Sheamus, and tag titles for the main event between RK-Bro, Lashley and MVP.
Yeah.
After that, we got Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler. We've already touched on this. Nia Jax was in Shayna's corner. Nikki, almost a superhero, was in the other. And
I don't know why Shayna and Nia are still a tag team. They literally broke up.
Well, but last week they were back together again.
And, like, but the point was that she, like, Nia lost when she was tagging with her.
Friends now. Anyway, Shayna took most of the match, but then Nia took out Nikki. This distracted Shayna. Don't know why. Rhea rolled her up inside Cradle to win. So Shayna is not in the least bit mad about this.
Nope. Why would you be?
And then Jax got in the ring and beat up Rhea. So I thought, I mean, looking back on this, it's unsurprising that Jax then beat Charlotte.
Yes.
Because she, like, this whole segment that she wasn't even a part of in the match.
Well, as soon as Nia was, like, made to look as dominant as she was, and it was announced as a non-title match. By the way, championship contenders, championship contendership thing, done. That's hasn't been mentioned now for like 3 weeks. So that's now a, that was a Vince McMahon idea that did not have any legs and is now pushed away and has never been mentioned again. But when they announced it was a non-title thing, I was like, I think Nia's going to win this because it's what WWE like to do: book their champions in non-championship in non-title matches. And pinned them to set up championship matches.
Didn't do that with Nikki, did they?
They did it loads with Nikki. Nikki got pinned all the time as champion.
You're like, but couldn't she have got a win building up to it? Oh no, she did. She kept on beating Charlotte and Rhea by running away from them.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I'm just curious as well. I'm just gonna while you're talking, I'm just gonna go into cage match. I'm just trying to think, when was the last time Shayna Baszler won a match? Okay, here we go. It's a long old way. I'm back in May. And that's me.
You're looking for singles or just tag or anything?
I think. Oh, okay. Okay, I've got one here. 12th of April, I think, is the last time that Shayna Baszler won a match. That was a tag match with Nia Jax defeating Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose by countout. It was 4 minutes.
Oh, was that the? That wasn't the match, was it?
It might have been the match
when Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke just backed off.
Yeah, it's not worth
and
it.
And then took the countout loss. Well, but the message they sent, Luke. After that, we, speaking of, like, you know, trying to second guess who's going to go over based on how people have been pushed before the match, we then got Viking Raiders versus Jinder Mahal and Veer. And I thought, well, Jinder and Veer are winning here, surely. They just had the program with Drew McIntyre. What are they going to do now?
Jinder got all that momentum last week from losing.
Exactly. Boof, boof, boof. Where are the Viking Raiders? Viking Raiders, I thought, looked excellent in this match. They pulled out all the spots, the crowd were really into them, and they won clean.
Yeah, clean as cheap. And not only that, because I thought, well, that's why Veer is there, so they can pin that they're heavy and protect Jinder. And Jinder took the pin. His push is done. Like, he had a 3-week push against Drew McIntyre, and Vince is like, it's not working again. That's it. He becomes back to being a jobber with you.
Yeah. A lot of clean finishes on this show, and it was just so nice. Honestly, we always say, oh, I wish they do more clean finishes, but I don't really know what that means anymore in WWE. So when they do them, it affected me more than I thought it would. I was like, this is so much better. We keep saying it's so much better, but it's better than I thought it would be. Speaking of better than I thought it would be, even though I had very high expectations, we then got a US title match, triple threat between Priest, Sheamus, and McIntyre. They went through multiple commercial breaks. It was just an excellent big hoss fight. Really great back and forth. It never really fell into a standard template, so you're always on the edge of your seat. And crucially, we had a clean finish that put over the new young guy champion super, super strong.
I mean, obviously, I want to put over everyone in this match.
Yeah.
Because Priest was amazing. Drew was amazing. But my MVP, and he's got my new favorite spot in WWE. And I think it is a stroke of genius as well. I'm going to put the spotlight here on Sheamus. Sheamus has added a spot to his arsenal now, which is when he does this pump knee.
Yes.
And it looks like the bro kick. Mm-hmm. And everyone reacts to it like it's the bro kick, which means it gets an incredible near fall reaction. But crucially, it protects the bro kick. Because no one's kicking out of the bro kick, but they're kicking out of this pump knee. But because it looks... It's a stroke of genius. He has made a move that looks like his finish, but it isn't his finish. That protects his finish.
about twice in the last couple of weeks, I've gone, oh my God, he kicked out the bro kick.
It happened at SummerSlam.
Like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Because it happened here. Drew ran him for a Claymore, but Sheamus hit him with what I thought was the bro kick out. I was like, oh my God. No, it was just the pump knee.
Yeah, it's absolutely genius.
Really?
A massive shout out to Sheamus. I think that's I love it.
The crowd actually chanted, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that was a genuine, not Kevin Dunn hitting the button on the soundboard.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, and ultimately, the finish was Sheamus got hit by a Claymore. He falls out the ring. Priest and McIntyre go back and forth a bit, but Priest hits the Reckoning. One, two, and I'm like, oh, surely he's kicking out. He's not pinning Drew. Three.
Yeah. Amazing. Selfless Drew.
And then afterwards, McIntyre shook his hand and endorsed him. I just thought, dear God, like, this is how you put over a new champion. Granted, he debuted in January, and the Bad Bunny and the Miz and Morrison stuff did nothing for him, but man, is he here now.
It took them nearly 9 months.
But they
finally got it with Damian Priest. So, you know, there's still hope for Keith Lee yet.
Is there? Someone commented on my video earlier that he, even though this was a great match, they actually ended up wanting the Open Challenge to be answered by Miz and Morrison. just to annoy you.
Do you know what?
And I thought, fair, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, it would have been better for Morrison, but what he got on this show.
One other thing, Drew McIntyre putting someone over in this way. A lot of people have said, this has given me Drew's going to SmackDown vibes.
100%, yeah. Really feels like he is going to the going across in the draft, because it's what you do. If you're being drafted, you start putting over people.
Here's an interesting one. Next up, we get an interview with Goldberg. Billion Goldberg. Gorg. And it's like earlier in the day, he's by his car. I've got to have knee surgery, but I'm not coming for Bobby's title anymore after what he did to me and my family. I'm coming for his soul.
So this creates an interesting setup, really, because the report is from WrestleVotes, it's likely happening at Saudi Arabia. So unsurprising to everyone, Goldberg versus Lashley is probably going to be the main event of the Saudi show. Gorg versus Lorg. And the main event of Saudi Arabia, which is a third match for Goldberg in the year 2021.
Woo!
Put his working boots on this
real
year.
Feel heat.
And if, like, his whole deal now is just like, I'm not coming after the title, I'm coming after your soul.
Mm.
Is you don't have to put the title on him. Right. You can do it as a non-title match. It's just Gorg versus Lorg, non-title. Gorg can win. Lashley doesn't lose the belt.
Yeah.
And then Lashley can go on to other things. Does absolutely diddly dick for Bob Lashley. But, you know, Gorg gets his win. Saudi Prince will be happy. Everyone's a winner, apart from Lashley, who then has to go back as WWE champion and be like, still the champion, though. Who wants my belt?
Got beaten by Gorg.
Got beaten by a 100-year-old man, yeah, but it's okay.
With a dud knee.
It's okay. No one watches the Saudi shows anyway.
So that's in October. That's October 21st in the beautiful city of Riyadh. So progressive. That's like 2 months away.
Well, it's fine. Gorg's not going to be on TV.
Knee surgery?
Yeah. Well, he's a superhero.
Anyway, so that's one thing. When did Goldberg start talking about souls?
I don't think he doesn't really mean, like, I think it's just a way for them to say, I'm not coming after the title. I'm just, like, this is more than the title.
Goldberg's like, no, man to man. I'm just thinking, it's Saudi Arabia. It's Bill Goldberg.
No, you...
It's the 21st of October. We're pretty close to Halloween.
They are not doing. They're not doing Gorg versus Taker again.
Maybe not Gorg versus Taker, but maybe Taker comes out and helps Gorg. Takes out MVP.
Why? 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 I mean,
Taker heard the word soul, and he's like, "I'm interested."
Vince, I heard someone said the word soul. Hey, was Gorg. It that William fella? I need to go help him in the beautiful progressive city of Saudi Arabia.
What you're forgetting here. Is this would be a moment.
You're absolutely right.
Doesn't make a lick of sense.
Nope, but you're right. Why am I trying to apply logic to this? You're absolutely right.
Goldberg and Undertaker holding each other's fists aloft
I can
to
hear,
close the end of the show.
I can hear Jimmy Smits now
What a moment. What a historic
Jimmy
moment.
Jimmy Schmidt. Oh, my God. Who is this guy? And he joined in April.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't know who the Undertaker is.
Yeah, yeah. I feel bad because we, obviously Jimmy Smith is actually quite a good commentator, but we have decided calling him Jimmy Smith. But now also we're applying a voice that's not really that's not befitting of the greatness that is Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith sound, the name, just that name.
That's what
oh,
I mean.
Jay
Willikers now, Corey, did you see them? But Jimmy Smith is legit one of the coolest people in the world.
Do you think?
Jimmy Smith, absolutely he is. Oh, he's so cool.
Lead, like, play-by-play, raw.
No, that's Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith, the actor.
I don't know who Jimmy Smith is.
You just watched In the Heights?
I did.
Yeah. You're going to Google him now, you're going to see who I mean.
He is a badass.
Right? That's what I mean. And we're applying a soundboard
to
him.
He's so good in the film.
Gee Willikers there, Corey.
Oh, I'm no.
Jimmy Smith is genuinely really cool.
Oh. He's in loads of stuff.
He is. He's in Star Wars.
Great guy.
West Wing.
Right, so
stuff that came out more than 20 years ago.
I look forward to Goldberg versus Undertaker. Reggie got another thing where he escaped R-Truth and Akira Tozawa. Tozawa was dressed like a dog. Do you want to do this next bit? Doudrop versus Eva Marie.
Okay, all right. So, like, the Eva Marie versus Doudrop storyline was there for the taking. This was an open goal that WWE have spectacularly missed every single time. They have missed it. And then have put the ball in the exact same position and said, can I have a mulligan? And have missed it again. And then have done that week on week on week. Because the story was very easy. That Doudrop has bought into Eve Marie's bald. And it's balderdash. She's bought into a balderdash. And she believes that Eve Marie's going to give her great things. Week two, she was like, Eve Marie's lying to me. I know she's lying to me. She's given me a terrible name. I'm still going to continue teaming with her, though, for the next 3 months. With no explanation why. And then she turns on Eva Marie, apropos of nothing, and then has said, actually, I'm keeping the name. I'm having a match with Eva Marie next week. So, here is what Doudrop did in this match. Eva Marie comes down to the ring, and she does her usual pose and stuff. Doudrop's gimmick now, I appear, is like she is a Broadway singer, because she comes out going, Jazz hands! Yeah, hey, and Doudrop!
Hey, Jimmy! And Jimmy Smith's on the side with his reporter cap. Oh, this girl's gonna be big, I tell ya! Hey, get on the phone to New York!
I got some pictures here that need to be posted about Doudrop going down Broadway! So she's coming down the ring doing jazz hands and stuff, glad handing with people. She gets in the ring. And the babyface Doudrop attacked Eva Marie before the match. Corey Graves, the heel commentator, being like, it's out of order. And then proceeds to beat her up so bad the match can't happen. And Byron Saxon's like, what mind games? I was like, she didn't get a win. She could have easily picked up a win here. And she didn't. And she got out of the ring and was like, the winner of this match is Doudrop. I'm like, no, it wasn't.
The match didn't
you're
happen.
An idiot. You're an idiot that essentially got yourself DQ'd. Because you made it a no contest. How thick are you? This accomplished nothing.
Also, like, the referee goes, oh, Eva Marie can't compete in the match now. Like, Eva never spoke to the referee. There's so many times that this happens and that they are allowed to compete.
Yeah.
So now the referee just looks like an idiot.
Yep.
What are the rules? I totally agree with you. I've loaded up the clip of this match. WWE in their YouTube wisdom has titled this clip, Doudrop renders Eva Marie unable to compete. Oh, boy! I'm clicking on that!
Anyway, what a star she is.
So, oh no, she, okay, right. So when I was listening to a recap, someone said, oh, Eva Marie was distracted because she was talking to the referee and then Doudrop attacked her. But I'm looking at this and I'm sorry we can't really show this to you at home, folks.
Go to YouTube yourself.
She's not. Look, she's not looking at him really.
It was a little bit.
I guess so.
She was looking at the ref.
Okay. This doesn't work.
For me, the bigger issue here is that
it's lame.
It is lame. Because clearly the end goal of this is for Doudrop to beat Eva, right? So what did Doudrop gain from not getting a win here?
Time. You filled the time. You build the heat. Jazz hands next week.
Yeah. Her new entrance is very silly. No good this was.
Charlotte did an interview about Nia Jax backstage. Karrion Kross beat Humberto Carrillo. Oh, this is boring.
Poor Humberto, man.
Oh, man, poor Kross. So he comes out in the same Zardoz outfit with the mask. And then, you know, like, this is a squash match. That's what it needed to be. But they can't even book squash matches anymore. I thought the Ricochet thing last week was good because at least it got over Kross. What's he do here? Two headlock spots.
Yeah.
In, like, a three-minute match.
I wrote in my notes here, you can hear the boredom. Oh. Like, the crowd was so utterly bored by this. Apparently, you know, this came out just after we finished the show last week when we were laughing at Karrion Kross's new terrible outfit. Andrew Zarian of the Matt Men podcast. I won't say he's a friend of mine, but I've done shows with him. He said that the reason why Kross has got this new gear is because he needs to look marketable. He needs to look like an action figure. Because that's what WWE do. They sell action figures.
I think they're moving into the sex outfit market.
It's about time, really. Yeah. So he needed to look like an action figure. His current outfit didn't make him look like an action figure. Now he looks like an action figure, albeit a rubbish one. But you know this whole thing of just like, we need to use NXT to create WrestleMania main eventers. Does that man look like a WrestleMania main eventer? Can you see Kross versus Brock Lesnar with that outfit?
No.
Absolutely. So you can't do both things, can you? You can't be a toy and also be a WrestleMania main eventer. Because this is destined for death.
Yeah.
He doesn't even look like he could challenge Damian Priest and look convincing in doing so. I think we're going to get maybe a couple more weeks of this, and we'll never see it again.
Never see Kross again?
Maybe he'll get like an Eric Young role where like you're a lumberjack or something.
Oh, God, that's depressing.
Yeah.
Nia got an interview on Charlotte backstage. Orton and Riddle did some fun Odd Couple bit skit. Then we got the Jax versus Flair match, which we've already covered.
One other thing I wanted to know, because we had the second of them. But you can tell now that Vince has got a vested interest in NXT because there were promos for it on this show. Doesn't happen otherwise. When Triple H was in charge, never promoting NXT.
Yeah.
But now that Vince and like Bruce Pritchard are doing it, now it's their project. They're like, oh, we need to promote it so people watch it. Because we created a new terrible logo for it on Nickelodeon.
It's a fine... I don't get the hate for the logo.
Oh, no, it's the most un-Triple H logo I've ever seen in my life. It looks like it has been designed to be the antithesis of what Triple H was trying to do with the brand.
Do you think Kevin Dunn's just there, like, while Triple H is watching him going, no, turn up the brightness a bit more.
Exactly.
Triple H is, No.
Triple H is like, I think it's fine now. And Kevin Dunn looks him in the eyes and goes, add another colour.
We got John Morrison backstage, and he's saying The Miz has gone to Hollywood. So, I don't know. Don't know why. And he's got to prove to himself that he can be the guy, so he's chosen Amos. And Amos is there for some reason. He just goes, well, that's bad luck for you, and walks off. And Morrison, quite funnily, because he is a good comedic actor, goes, yeah, I guess that's bad luck for me. Which is funny. But it's not the best look for someone who's meant to be I would say you've got to position him as a hot baby face here going up against The Miz for their blood feud.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you?
But he came out and he got beaten by Amos in a terrible match.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we gave Nia Jax a lot of stick. Amos didn't hurt anyone, but he was goddamn terrible here.
There's a reason why they've been hiding him in tag team matches. Mm. There's why AJ Styles wrestles for the pair of them. It's because he is, you know, like with the great Khali is another example of this. It's just like, yeah, he's 8 foot tall, but also that means he's a little bit unstable at times, a little bit wobbly legged, and can't really do a great deal in the ring. So we hide him in a tag team and other people can do the work for him. So then they keep putting him out there in singles matches, which just exacerbates the problem. Hide him in tag team matches. That's what AJ is there for.
And it doesn't make him feel special anymore either.
No, it doesn't. And also, like, for me, this whole thing, John Morrison just had his big babyface turn last week. So why would you beat him 7 days later in a match that is not the match that you announced?
Yeah.
Didn't even get, didn't even get Becky.
He did some cool hops, but they were made a little bit less cool because Amos was massively out of position.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Do you know what? Sometimes you need to put NXT matches, like old NXT matches, onto Raw, really, to highlight. And basically, you can now go to the guys like, you need to do a little bit more, kid.
And Amos is with the veteran AJ Styles.
Yeah.
In the sort of that bit of NXT.
Yeah, yeah.
After that, AJ Styles stayed out there and Xavier Woods just made an entrance.
Charles Berg in all caps. Amos is never in position. That really made me laugh.
AJ and Woods had a decent match, but I just didn't care.
Yeah.
There was nothing to it. No stakes. Woods feels completely directionless without Kofi. Not his fault, but the creative powers that be. There was no reason for this to happen.
I think this tells you everything that you need to know about how WWE feel about Xavier Woods as a wrestler, which is just like, you go out there, go, but you're a tag team guy. And if your tag team if your tag team partner's not there, that means that there's nothing for you, kid. And so he just goes out there and he's like, yeah, that was a fine match. Like watching these two work together, but ultimately it meant nothing. And it is like in the third hour looking at your watch being like, all right, when's the main event then?
Well, the main event started right after. It was RK-Bro versus Lashley and MVP. AJ and Amos stayed out there. They were on commentary. And I thought, oh, they're going to interfere then.
Mm-hmm.
I've played Knifey Spoonie before. I get how this is going to play out.
Yeah, yeah.
But to their credit, no. This was a very good... Well, it was a good main event.
Good main event.
MVP got worked over a bunch. Mm-hmm. Riddle pinned him. So good for Riddle. And then Lashley's going to beat him up. But Randy Orton, from out of nowhere, RKO, saves Riddle. Yeah. Does two brilliant things. Well, three brilliant things. It's a clean finish. Puts over Riddle strong. Lashley sort of gets a new challenger, potentially, in Orton, which I'm surprised I'm into.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's new, and I wouldn't mind seeing that with Randy as a babyface. Finally, it really puts a nice punctuation point on, yes, Riddle and Orton are bros now.
Yeah.
Randy just saved Riddle.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Because now, Lashley, we're in a position, you know, 2 months ago, we were like, man, there's no one for Bobby. Like, there's no challenge lined up. By this episode's end, and going by last week's episode as well, you've got Sheamus, you've got Priest. Drew is there, but he can't challenge for it. And now you've got Randy. And by extension, you've also sort of got Matt Riddle. You've set up like five potential people, along with Gorg, making it six. So like there is like now, it feels like the main event feels a bit more fresh on Raw. And that's good because it really did need a big refresh. And to their credit, I think they've done a pretty admirable job with that.
I would say though, they have, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, all of the titles are in this expanded picture now.
Yeah.
Tag titles, US title, men's title. Like, they're all here. But, you know, there are... How many people was that? Seven people?
Yeah, six. Well, six if you include Gorg.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could add in the Viking Raiders because they were saying, you know, and the that probably puts them in line for a tag team title.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some stuff in there. I thought it was a pretty good ending to the show, actually.
It was an understated... This was like a perfect normal week cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a huge angle, but I'm like, yes, excited for next week.
Indeed, yeah. So you scored this episode.
4 out of 5. One of the best episodes of the whole year.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, it wasn't without its issues, and there were some on there, but, mate, it is one of the better episodes we've had this year. I saw a lot of people were really high on last week's episode, being like, man, last week's episode is one of the best episodes they've had in ages, and I thought, man, it's broadly fine.
Yeah.
This week's, though, was actually like, man, there's some really good stuff on this show. I've been giving it 2. I'd have gone for 3. I'd have gone for it's an average show. And the community tab, in line with my thinking, 49% said it was a 3 out of 5 show, 22% said it was a poor 2 out of 5 show, and 17% said it was a 1 out of 5 boring show. 10% though thought it was a 4 out of 5 core. Now the reason why I highlight that is so much higher than it usually is. Because usually what you end up with the Raw polls is that 3, 4, and 5 are like massively outweigh everything. It's usually three and four are the highest ones. And 1 and 2 usually get below 5%. So for this episode to get 10%, 4 out of 5, I know, so that tells you a lot about how much people enjoyed this episode.
I saw you glance at the poll before you gave your official score.
I knew what I was
trying to be
score.
Trying to be man of the people.
Yeah, well, I am a man of the people.
Well, let's get into your thoughts on the episode with your Ultra Chats, wrestletalk.com/support. Get them all in there. We'll read out everyone before the end of the show over 5 US didgeridoos. Homer Star Fan 13. A few days ago, I told my dad that there was a wrestler called Dewdrop, and he looked confused and thought it was dumb. When a non-wrestling fan can tell you it's stupid, then you've done a terrible job at trying to capture a new audience.
Yeah, it's a name.
Chris Field. Was it just me, or did no one else see Eva Marie's massive...
Mod Mother has said, this is how it came through. I have no idea what they're talking about either.
Eva Marie's massive.
Do you remember that bit in Alan Partridge when Sonia really wants to go to Bono's house? And so Alan just takes her to a stately home thing to walk around. And they walk to the bed and he goes, that's where Bono has his breakfast for morning. It's a big bowl of cornflakes. Massive it is. Maybe he was trying to say there, Chris Field would say, was it just me? Or did no one else see Eva Marie's massive bowl? Massive it is.
Well, I know what we can both do. So Chris Field feels like he's got money for his worth of his super chat.
Jazz hands.
Dewdrop. Hey, Eva Marie.
The winner of this match is Eva Marie.
Oh, from Eric. Cross needs to do jazz hands to get over. And Scarlet Bordeaux. Scarlet Bordeaux's got a little cane now and a top hat. And they're coming down to the ring. Hey, it's Carrion Cross.
Fall and pray. Fall and pray. Fall and pray.
Buzz. Guys, do you want to say buzz in the Home Alone way?
Buzz! Buzz your girlfriend! Woof!
Guys, I think I cracked the code of Karrion Kross. The bondage straps are in a cross pattern over his chest. Cross! VKM knows what he's doing.
You're probably right.
I mean, didn't we all...
I didn't pick up on that, no. Because, like, He-Man has a similar thing. I don't look at He-Man and be like, Cross-Man.
I'm thoroughly confused. Jack Nichols, what's the difference between Randy Orton and the slice of toast? You can make a soldier out of the toast.
Sorry, one second. What's the difference between Randy Orton and a slice of toast? You can make a... Oh, because Randy Orton went AWOL.
Oh, ouch. I rate Raw on the same scale as The Sopranos, Vikings, Breaking Bad, and Goodfellas. With that in mind, great episode of Raw, 2 stars. You're the best. Goodfellas isn't a TV series. Truman Spearing. Is Raw watchable yet? Got sick of the bad booking, so found something better to do in that time slot. Love you guys, you make my day. I'm going through a rough patch. Thank you, D-A-D. Well, hope things get better, Truman. What was the better thing you found to do in the time slot?
Yeah, let us know.
I tried hitting my head against a wall for 3 hours, and that was better. So many things.
Do you know what I did this morning while I was watching Raw? For the first part of Raw, because I got this morning, I had a lot to do this morning because I was writing the news with you. I had to watch Raw. I had to go and get my car seat fitted for the little bab that's on its way. So I also didn't have time yesterday to get my lunch done. So I woke up this morning to make my lunch. At 6 a.m. this morning, I was cooking noodles and I was frying off some tofu. Oh, it was beautiful.
Cooking for yourself.
Little garlic powder in there, some like sesame oil. Tossed it in there with some chili flakes, some corn flour to get some nice crispness around the edge. I was doing that at legit 6 a.m. while watching Raw.
It's weird to get those smells and scents at breakfast.
I did think, because they were so, like, they came out of the oven after half an hour, just so crispy and golden and delicious. And I did think, I might have one of those now. I can't, it's 6:30. I need to have a bagel and coffee.
Gatecrasher forever. That comparison of the Muppets booking the show on the fly, like WWE, is freaking awesome. Bravo. Alpha Wolf. My guess is Goldberg wins against Lashley and Saudi, laying him out for Big E to cash in and win the WWE title in Saudi. Makes sense with the draft coming up. Keep up the good work. Ollie and Luke, jam that jam.
Do you know what, Alpha Wolf? That's not the worst idea ever, actually. Because, like, if it is going to be a non-title match as well, you don't have to pin Gorg. And, like, Bobby can then come back and be, like, not talking about the loss to Goldberg, just talking about the loss to Big E.
Pretty big, though. I don't know if I'd do that when you've got Survivor Series the next month.
I think that's the... Unless, of course, you think that Bobby versus Roman is a bigger match than Roman versus Big E.
I don't know. I just don't like things happening on Saudi shows that affect canon.
Yeah, it's true. Ten Ruzza. Hey, guys. Hope you're good after a little bit of break this weekend. Did you catch any of the two NWA shows this weekend? Ric Flair was amazing, and thank you, Kong. Naya needs to go to the PC or to the new NXT to train a lot more.
I'm partway through NWA 73, and I must say I'm loving the hell out of it. The presentation, the style of wrestling, wrestling the chase. Love it, love it, love it. from what I've seen so far, I recommend it.
The Awesome Kong thing was so, so great. As like as a TNA fan of like particularly that era of TNA as well, it was a genuinely heartwarming moment.
And you said the Tyrus stuff was
the
great.
The Tyrus thing was hilarious. I can be Andrade, watch me go. Alpaca Nation 87, pretty good Raw with sweaty men slapping each other, just like Vince likes. Looking at what he doesn't like, I can see Cole making his debut at All Out in the tag title cage match, whether to help the Bucks or Lucha Bros can lead to a great story either way. I could see them doing a thing where it's like, not only is it a cage match, but the rest of the Elite are banned from ringside. So that takes out Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows and Kenny and Callis. And that's where Adam Cole debuts to join the Elite and sort of rejoin his Bullet Club brethren.
It's a cage match.
Just climb up to the top of the cage and punch one of them.
Shut up. No. The reason it's a cage is so people can't interfere.
Well, that's what's going to make you think. Think of the heat,
no.
Davis.
I don't care. I like the way AEW book, and I want them to stick to basic principles. Like non-interference gimmicks having no interference.
Well, let's see.
I'm going to go Jim Cornette on you.
Retro Station 1989. Hey, Ollie, sent your CM Punk ice cream wrapper. Thanks to you, Luke, and the Rest Talk team. Jam that jam. That'd be very cool on the set.
It's going to be such a weird thing to get framed. Thank you, Retro Station. That's very much appreciated.
Charles Burke said, Ollie, do you like Doctor Who? Because the dog is owned by, I'm assuming he's talking about the Paw Review. Because this dog is owned by one of the masters. I'm not kidding. This is Frank, the most badass Jack Russell you'll ever meet. He is a major alpha who puts any size dog down. 11 out of 10. Nicknames Frank the Tank, Frankenstein JTJ.
How? What, like, I guess one of the people who played the master in Doctor Who?
Mm.
Wow. So it's actually their dog.
Apparently so. Because like, that's what Charles does. Charles looks after dogs and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, tell us who.
Charles also adds, this is going to be a sad one. Unfortunately, last week, Benna, the dog Ollie remarked, sat like a human, had to be put down. It's important to me that you all know that she was a perfect dog. She brought everyone joy. She brought joy to everyone she ever met. Her new rating is infinity out of 10.
Yeah.
Mark Mayhew, Meltzer knows something that's way worse than having a really bad pretend shoot fight. Moving to Texas.
But why would you go to San Antonio? I get why you'd have a shoot fight on Raw with Nia Jax, but it's always so hot there.
Why would anyone move to Texas? He also said that his chat was about Jackass movies. Hopefully it doesn't get censored. It didn't. It was fine. And just know, yes, have you guys seen CM Punk's first match yet in heels? It's pretty good. And Luke, have sent a thank you card to SRS for the blue chew he gave you?
Very good, because I got my wife pregnant.
Yeah. I have not seen anything from Heels, though. I don't...
No.
Is it airing here in the UK?
It's on Stars. I don't really know. I think that's an Amazon channel you can get here.
Oh, I think I did see it. It's on Amazon Prime. You've got to get the Stars app in order to watch it yet. And I'm not that interested, so I probably won't do it. Email in from Dave, who says, hey chaps, first congrats Luke on the big news, we'll make an amazing dad. Been away for a week's holiday and came back for to no SummerSlam review or no Raw after SummerSlam my podcast feed. It's not an obviously played or either available. Where is the problem with the, was there a problem with these podcasts? We'll watch the YouTube reviews. If not, regards Dave Parker. P.S. just ordered the new GM that GM t-shirt.
Nice.
Love it. Excellent choice. So Dave, because a few people have messaged me about this. On Thursday, before we released the AEW podcast, we hadn't even finished like fully recording it yet.
Mm.
And I started getting messages from people saying, you've loaded the wrong AEW podcast. And I was like, seems unlikely. I haven't actually edited it yet. Acast, who provide our podcast platform, have just had a big refresh of their platform. They've completely built it from the ground up. And what that meant was it pushed out some old episodes into the podcast feed as sort of new releases.
This is how people get cancelled.
Yeah.
I'm scared that anyone, you know, like anything older than 6 months ago would have aged terribly.
Well, thankfully, it was the Brody Lee tribute episode of Dynamite. Yeah. So it was quite a nice episode in a way. Like a sad episode, obviously.
But it's also like, It's a weird one.
It's a weird
one. If you, because the majority of people will not hear this explanation. And I'll just be like, why are they doing, are they trying to capitalize off Brody Lee? The 8 months after?
But regards to the SummerSlam review and the Raw after SummerSlam review is that they appear to have got stuck in the importing process. They haven't quite fully made it back into the podcast feed. So they are there, but it's just like if you try and click on it, it just says unavailable. Yeah. Like it doesn't work. I'm speaking with Acast. They're trying to sort it out. But yeah, so for now, you go and watch it on YouTube if you are desperate for that SummerSlam review. What a great review it was. But yeah, there are some slight teething issues. Hey, I mean, we're not late to this. They were testing this out with much smaller podcasts. So my other podcast that I do about Games Master was like one of the first, because it doesn't get that many plays. Mm. They like rolled it out to us first so that all of the mistakes and all of the teething issues could be ironed out on the smaller podcast that no one listens to. So I could then feed back to them and be like, this bit doesn't work, this bit doesn't work, this bit's broken, this doesn't quite work, this does this and this and this.
But the demos for your other podcast are better than the overall viewership.
Oh,
so who's the real winner?
How did you feel about the Rampage number this week?
Yeah, you don't know, do you? I was happy. What were you? Were you?
It was borderline the same number they did the week one, which is what good. I sort of assumed that it kind of would go down to. Obviously, you're not going to get that Punk number every week because Punk isn't returning to wrestling every week.
It's a good way to establish that habit, though, because first episode, big. Loads of promotion, big title change. Mm. Punk comes in the next week. Then you've got whatever last week was. The really good tag match. And you've got the go-home show for All Out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe the first Bryan Danielson Rampage.
Who knows? Week up.
That's 5 weeks of like really must-see Rampage TV. So I hope they do well.
Unless, of course, it just gets a 3-week push. And Tony's like, eh, I'm bored of that now.
Trust in Tony.
It just becomes dark again. I got this email.
Oh, you mean Elevation?
Yeah, sorry.
Dark again.
yeah, dark again. I had this in from Andrew, who said, not sure I'm off on this, but does Luke have a sister living in Pittsburgh who designs furry costumes? Now, do you think that this person looks like me?
So I've seen this email and the picture, and at first I was like, I don't think so. But then the more I looked at it, yes.
Yeah, I had the same reaction, where I was like, what are you on about, Andrew? And then I looked at it again, I was like, hey, here's the sort of face I would pull if I was mugging to the camera.
But also just that the position, I think it's the eyes and the smile.
Yeah.
It's almost like she has made a furry costume of Luke Owen.
Maybe. I did have an email that I wanted to read out from Harry, but we've sort of run out of time a little bit, unfortunately. We may have to draw this to a close. Just briefly, though, because you teed it up on the Thursday AEW show. I don't know, 60 seconds, how did it go?
Oh, man. So this was me meeting my long-lost uncle for the first time, my dad meeting his long-lost brother for the first time. Didn't know he existed until earlier this year. Never really knew any of his family. Met him on Friday afternoon. It was very, very nice. He seems lovely. It was everything you could have hoped for.
Excellent.
And I was, we're all ordering drinks. And there was a very, very nice white wine called Sancerre from the Sancerre region in France. I was like, oh, I'll have a glass of the Sancerre, please.
Ooh.
And he went over and he went, make that a bottle. And I said, as a joke, thank you, Uncle Ian. And that was the first time anyone had like ever addressed
him. Oh, really?
And it was like this 2-second... And then everyone started laughing, thankfully, so it's all good. Because it's weird for a 33-year-old man that you've just met to call you uncle.
All right, well, let's get out of here. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on the AEW podcast on Thursday, but Tempest and Pete will be doing the NXT show tomorrow. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.